We want you to pray for Brother Michael in a very special way this morning as he comes. As Brother Michael concludes today, we're going to meet for a few minutes on a very good thing. So don't exit as Brother Michael takes a seat. Don't leave. We're going to have a very brief meeting whenever Brother Michael takes a seat. Thank you so much. Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Certainly thankful to be here this morning, and what a wonderful blessing we can come to the Lord's house and pay no attention to the deacons. They're going to be locking the doors in a little bit, just for those of you that didn't listen well just then. So, but if you want to turn with me this morning, we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 28. My father-in-law is known for a lot of little maxims and sayings, and one of his sayings that I appreciate the most is that he says that no individual is too good to be used as a bad example for someone else. And this morning I want us to look at the life of Israel's first king, King Saul, and I want us to look at hard lessons learned from King Saul. He was the first king of Israel, and as you read the Word of God and as you observe in life, sometimes we have individuals that we look to as an example of how we should conduct ourselves, and then some individuals we look to as a non-example. And King Saul is one of those non-examples that's given to us in the Word of God that teaches us that there can be dire consequences when we stray from God's standard, when we stray from God's commandments. And one of the questions I'd like us to ponder before we read a little bit in 1 Samuel chapter 28 is, where do you go or where do you turn to when you need a word of direction? When you think about all of your situations in life, who do you look to? Where do you turn when you're trying to figure out what is going to be my next step in my life? And I want to tell you, we live in a time today where there is a real need for godly wisdom. There's a real need for godly guidance in our lives. You just look at the current events and you see all of the difficulties that are going on in our country. Every day that passes, there seems to be something that comes along that says, Lord, what is going on in our society? What is going on in our world? When you hear about the taking of others' lives because of the color of their skin, or I remember some time ago an individual went into a synagogue and shot and killed a bunch of people because of their religious beliefs. Just when you think things can't get any more dark or any crazier, something else happens. So we live in a time where there seems to be a great crisis of values and morals. So it's a good question for us to think about. Where do we turn when we need direction in our lives? And I'm sad to say that in our nation today, many have divorced themselves from the true place that God has given us for wisdom, and that's His Word. And I hope that as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 28, we will see that when we try to seek wisdom from sources other than God and from the Word of God, then there will be consequences with those issues. So I'm going to read several verses, and I'll try to be mindful of the time this morning since we do have some other things to speak about. But I want us to go to 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 3, and we're going to read an instance towards the end of Saul's life. We'll read in verse 3 and we'll read down several verses. Be patient with me. I will try to work through this quickly this morning, Lord willing. Verse 3 says, Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramoth, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. Then when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Verse 7, Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and the two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Verse 11, Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up to Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto him, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Then verse 15, And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then Samuel, verse 16, Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from me, and is become my enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. We'll stop there this morning, but what I want us to look at here we have Saul. He's desperately seeking answers to his current situation. He's desperately seeking answers because we see here in the passage that we read, he was fearing and trembling. And I want to say to you this morning, and we're going to see first of all from this example to Saul, when we need godly direction, when we need godly instruction, and we try to seek it from an ungodly place, it's never going to end well for us. And that's what we see here with Samuel. He's seeking direction, but we see obviously from the passage, he has gone to an ungodly place to seek direction, to seek clarity. And that's what 1 Samuel chapter 28 is about. And what this teaches us as God's people is that wrong choices will lead to disaster and chaos in our lives. And that's what happened here with Saul. And I want us to look at a couple points here this morning, and I want us to see the example of Saul. We'll notice that indeed wrong choices will create crisis and trouble in our lives. And I think we can all acknowledge this morning we have been there. Can you think back in your life when you've made wrong choices and things didn't turn out right? We need to understand that. Sometimes we suffer because of the choices of others. Sometimes we just suffer the general trials and tribulations of this world. But when I'm being honest with myself, there are times that I have made wrong choices that have created trials, that have created crises, that have created drama in my life. And that is exactly what has happened here with Saul. Saul has made wrong choices that have brought him to this point in his life. And what we read in here in chapter 28, this is one of the spookiest things in the Old Testament, what we have going on here. We have the king of Israel trying to seek clarity, seek information from a witch. You say, witches are real. We have witches here mentioned in God's word. Now, I'll give the disclaimer. As God's people, we don't need to be seeking those things out. There's a dark spirit there that we need to stay away from, and we're going to see that it ended in a disastrous result for King Saul. I remember, I believe it was Kipling that wrote the poem about the road to Endor. And in the last couplet of that poem, he writes this. He says, On the road of Endor is the oldest road and the craziest road of all. It says, straight it runs to the witch's abode, as it did in the days of Saul, and nothing has changed of the sorrow in store, for such as go down to the road of Endor. And what we see here, Saul is trying to seek direction from an ungodly source. And my friends, we live in a time today where we can seek all kinds of directions from all kinds of sources, and very few of them square with the Word of God when we start parsing out what's being told from us from Scripture. Now, in verse 3, we go back at 1 Samuel chapter 28. The Bible says, now Samuel was dead. Now, we understand from Scripture that Samuel had been dead for some period of time, but now we have Saul. Saul is wanting a word for Samuel. And I don't know about you, but this is ironic to me because it seems throughout the life of Saul as he was king of Israel, Samuel was really treated like nothing more than a nuisance to him. He didn't want to hear from Samuel. He didn't want to hear from the old preacher as the old preacher tried to warn him about the decisions that he was making. But now Samuel was dead and Saul was wanting answers from him. We need to think about that as we receive words of wisdom from perhaps our mom and dad, and we don't take their words of wisdom to heart. Someday they're going to be gone and we're going to want to have that counsel. You know, with parents, with mentors, with preachers. You know, there's the curse of the old preachers. Boy, I wish I could go back and hear from Brother so-and-so again. Well, Saul says, I want a word from Samuel. And here we go. He goes about seeking a word in one of the most ungodly ways possible. Samuel was there many times in the life of Saul as Saul began to stray away from the things of God. And really the whole circumstance that brought Saul to the kingdom, brought him as a king, really a big mess. You know, it started out by Israel wanting a king like all of the other nations around them. From before Saul, God was the one that was the ruler over Israel. God was their king, and God had blessed them. God had provided for them. He had led them out of the wilderness into the promised land. But they observed the nations around them, and Israel said, "We want a king." They went to Samuel. "We want a king like the other nations around us." Samuel tried to warn them about that. God said to Samuel, "Too, here's what's going to happen if they have a king. There's going to be all of these disasters. You're going to be taxed. Your people are going to be taken away to labor in the service of the king and so forth." But they said, "No, we still want a king." We see that God gave them the king that they wanted. And I think it was 1 Samuel chapter 18. We get that warning from the old prophet Samuel. He says to the people, "And ye shall cry out in that day because your king, which ye shall have chosen you," he says, "and the Lord will not hear you in that day." God gave them what they wanted. We don't want God always to give us what we want, because sometimes it's really not what we need. But God gave them a king, and from the very beginning, it was trouble for them. We understand that during the life of Saul, he started quit very quickly being lifted up in pride and straying away from God. Well, as we go on, we see in 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 4, we see that the continual battle with the Philistines was going on. Verse 4, "The Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa." Here it was, remember, Philistines, they had invaded now far into the borders of Israel. And Saul and the army, they were pitched a little ways from them. And the Bible says, as we go on in verse 25, when he saw these armies of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart had greatly trembled. Now, this is in contrast to many of the other battles that we see. Saul was not a rookie as far as battling the Philistines. Saul had battled them on numerous occasions and had been victorious, and he had had resolve and had gone forward and had victories. But it says now that he was afraid. Now, here was the warrior, and he was afraid. And I wonder here that the fear was not because he didn't understand military strategy. He didn't understand his armies. But I believe, really, there was a fear of repudiation here. You know, he was fearful because he hadn't heard from the Lord. And verse 26, when it says here, when Saul inquired of the Lord, the Lord answered him not. Didn't answer him by dreams, didn't answer him by Urim, didn't answer him by the prophets. And that was three of the ways that God really, really spoke to people in the Old Testament time. God was silent. That Urim was an Old Testament way. You know, the priest had the Urim on the breastplate. That was some way that God gave discernment to them. I don't know a lot of detail. Some say perhaps it was some stones, but whatever it was a way that God gave clarity in decisions. He was silent with Saul, and this scared him. Word didn't come by the prophets. Now, if you remember in some of the preaching, Brother Tim preached about the time that David went to Nob, and David was there, and that was the place where the priests had encamped. It was during this time Saul had really, really lost his mind and didn't have the Spirit of God. And all those priests were gathered there, and when David went there, word got back to Saul that David was there, and Saul killed all the priests. He killed all the preachers, and there was, I believe it was Abathar that was left, and told David about this. But you know, one thing, in his madness, he had killed all the ones that had some spiritual understanding during that time. But the Lord was silent. And what was going on? For years and years and years, Saul had rebelled against the Lord, and the Lord had been silent in giving him discernment and giving him directions. So Saul cannot get a word from God because he'd made terrible choices over the years. That should be a stark warning to us as God's people. And I'll tell you this morning, our God will never leave us or forsake us eternally. We sang, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Our heavenly home is sure as a child of God. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven is our home as His children. But I can conduct myself in such a way where my fellowship with God will be hindered and I won't hear from Him and get the blessing of clarity, the blessing of direction in my life. And I believe that's what happened here with Saul. You'll remember very early, I believe it was in 1 Samuel chapter 13, early on, Saul decided to overstep his bounds and make an altar and make sacrifices to God. And perhaps he was well-intentioned in doing that, but he was dead wrong. He took the job that belonged to Samuel. He took the job that belonged to the priests and took it upon himself to do something God did not sanction him to do. And we see at the very beginning, the judgment of God comes down upon him because of that. And then really the life of Saul is a continual set of poor choices. Instead of doing what the Word of God says, he wanted to do his own thing. And he refers to it in our passage, but in 1 Samuel chapter 15, you remember they went out to fight against the Amalekites, and they were to wipe out everything amongst the Amalekites. Well, he didn't do that. Just to make a long story short, he kept some of the spoil, and he did not kill the king like he was commanded to do. And Samuel came to him and confronted him with that. And you know, really, one of the most clear indications that God is concerned with the details comes from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and verses 23. Samuel said, the prophet Samuel speaking to Saul, he said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" What he's saying here is that God's not necessarily concerned with your actions, or he's not concerned with your actions if you're acting contrary to his word. If you're being a spiritual rogue and doing your own thing instead of what God commands you, he asks the question, is God pleased with this? Does he delight in that? Well, he goes, no, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the rams. What he's saying here is it's imperative that we obey the commandments that God has given us. And then notice verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And notice this, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from king, from being king. He had lost the favor and blessings of God as the king because he rejected the word of the Lord. My friends, many of the difficulties and trials that we go through, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us, this applies to all of us, it's because we've rejected the word of the Lord. We've heard the word of the Lord, but we decide that we have a better formula for our own personal success. And it's interesting. Then it goes on, verse 27. Said so when Samuel got ready to go away, Saul grabbed his mantle and grabbed his coat, if you will, and it tore. His mantle tore. And Samuel turns around and says in verse 28 to Saul, he says to him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than you. And then he says this, also the strength of Israel will not lie or repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And what he's saying there is that God doesn't forget, and God doesn't change his mind. You know, if you want to memorize a verse that should just shock us to the core, when you think that you know better than God and you want to go rogue and do your own thing, remember what Samuel said right there. The strength of Israel will not lie or repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And I honestly think Saul said, well, you know Samuel's angry right now. God's not happy with me right now, but you know, God's just going to forget about this somewhere down the road. He doesn't forget. No. Or he says, you know, this to me, in my perspective, this really isn't a big deal in the big scheme of things, and God will see it my way sometime. Oh, how we can justify ourselves. And I believe that now what we see is that that time has come for Saul, that the kingdom physically, you know, that was spoken some years before, but now physically we're going to see the end of King Saul. My friends, I want you to understand that our choices can create crises in our lives. And, you know, we may not see the consequences of it for years and years and years later. And that's what we see here with Saul. I remember reading several years ago of somewhere near Jacksonville where a guy was sleeping in his bed and a sinkhole opened up and in his bedroom and consumed the side of his house where he's sleeping. We live in an area where there's a lot of sinkholes. And it was really a tragic circumstance. The guy lost his life, and there were other family members in the house, and they saw the sinkhole. All they found were a few wires and a portion of the bedroom furniture, but the guy that was in his bed was gone. We think about that and say, wow, that was a sudden turn of events. But, you know, there were probably hundreds and hundreds of years of erosion under that house. And living in Florida, if you have some idea about the water table and aquifers, sometimes you'll get water in rocks and it'll erode the rocks away. It's a long process of time, but then the sinkhole happens, the tragedy occurs. Well, in Saul's life, we have a series of choices that said, I know better than God, and now those chickens have come home to roost.
Right.
Wrong choices will create crisis in our lives. Young people, wrong choices, you know, choices that you take that stray away from the Word of God will cause difficulty. It will. That's just as simple as I can state it. But let me say this. Another wrong choice will even further complicate crises in your life. As you've always heard, two wrongs don't make a right. Well, here we are. Saul is in the middle of crisis. Samuel is dead. Saul cannot get any word from the Lord about the situation of this battle. So what does he do? He continues to go in a path that's displeasing to God. And I wonder if at any point here, you know, we don't see it in words. God, I don't think it happened. Saul never just said, God, I have messed up. God, I turn this over to you. I've been prideful. I've done things my own way. I've messed it up. No, what does he do? Well, in verse 7, he says to his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor. So what he was saying, I am going to visit someone that can make contact, or supposedly make contact with the dead, to get some answers to my problem. Now, I was reading some research not too long ago. We live in the era of Generation Z. It's the age group from age 6 to about age 28. And there's characteristics about the newest generation that differ from any other generations that have come along. And some of the research shows that today's generation from around age 6 to age 28, they are as far connected from godly principles or the Word of God that any generation has ever been in this country. It means they're not attending church as much as previous generations. They're not reading God's Word. They're not attuned to the things of God's Word in general. You say, well, I'm in that age group, and I am. Well, you're not part of that group then. But in general, a large percentage of our Generation Z, they're detached from spiritual things. But another characteristic is they are trying to seek answers from ungodly sources, trying to seek answers from the occult, from kind of far out things that aren't too different from what Saul was doing here. You know, I can remember when I was a kid, in the mid to late 80s, there seemed to be an upsurge in the occult. I can remember being a kid in school, and the Ouija board was very popular. Stay away from that. Nothing good can come from those things. And it seemed like it kind of ebbed a little bit, but now we have so many people trying to seek wisdom from mysticism. We have the resurgence of the New Age movement, and it's crept into religion and disguises itself as religion. And a lot of the things that you hear as far as meditation, a lot of times folks aren't talking about godly meditation, filling up your mind with spiritual things and godly things, but they're speaking of emptying out your mind so some other source can inhabit it. That will not do us well as God's people. But so here was Saul, ungodly behavior throughout his reign as king, and now he's going to try to seek spiritual answers from an ungodly source. And he goes to a woman that is referred to here as one that has a familiar spirit. The word familiar spirit here, the word is a simple word in the original language. It's ob. And basically, ob is just a weird sound. And that ob was the sound that these witches and so forth, it was really an utterance they would make to try to make contact with an evil spirit, make contact with another person. It reminds me of today. You hear of those that are trying to get in a meditative state by repeating the ohms. Don't do that either. So, you know, we see similarity there. And so he goes to this woman, and it's interesting. The Bible says that he goes to inquire of her, and we notice from where he is, to this area, he had to go through enemy lines, and the Bible says in verse 28, Saul disguised himself, he put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray, divine unto me by this familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. How far Saul had fallen. At one point, he had outlawed such behavior in Israel, and now he's seeking out counsel from this ungodly source. It says he disguised himself. Now, why did he do that? Now, the Bible says he was a man head and shoulders above everyone else. I really think that, you know, there was possibly some embarrassment here with him about doing this. He just takes a couple men with him, and we see how far the king had sunk. Well, going on verse 9, the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, And notice this. This is almost like the grace of God just trying to warn Saul about these behaviors. Here was a woman. I don't believe she was a godly woman by any means. But here she says, you know what Saul has done? How he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. She says, wherefore then layest thou a snare to my life to cause me to die? She's saying here that this, we shouldn't be doing this. And perhaps maybe that was a warning to Saul, but he did not take it into account. He said, verse 10, he swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up to thee? And it says at the end of verse 11, and he said, bring me up Samuel. And then notice this, and this right here, again, this is to me, this is one of the spookiest things in God's word, but we're going to see that it has a point for being there. It says, and when the woman saw Samuel, verse 12, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? Here was this woman. Now, there's a couple of things that we could speculate and could have been going on here. First of all, as perhaps she was a fake or a fraud. She might have been. There's people today. You see the 1-800 numbers to call this psychic. They're liable to be frauds. Perhaps she was a fraud. But whatever it was, this caught her by surprise. She wasn't expecting this. Or if she wasn't a fraud, perhaps whatever dark spirituality she had been in, it was a lot different than what she was experiencing right now. But the Bible says she saw Samuel. And she cried with a loud voice. Now, some debate, was this really Samuel? What was going on here? But the Bible says right here, she saw Samuel. And I believe she saw Samuel. I don't believe it was of her own doing, because when she saw it, she cried with a loud voice. Now, if she was in a lot of that dark stuff, there probably would have been very little that would have unnerved her. But this unnerved her. She saw him, and Saul didn't. And interestingly enough, Saul heard her, but she didn't hear him. Well, let's go on. Verse 13. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And then he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul, the Bible says, perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Well, what's going on here, Brother Michael? I believe that God was going to teach Saul a lesson right here. I believe it was Saul. I don't believe that he was conjured up by witchcraft or dark arts. This was the work of God to teach a valuable lesson to Saul and to tell Saul again what was going to come because he had strayed away from God's path. The Bible says it's interesting. She gave the description. It was Samuel there. And she was surprised by this, but God had caused this occasion to happen, and Samuel had some words for Saul. Well, this may bring up the question. We're reading about this person that can supposedly speak with the dead and so forth. I mean, is there some validity to this? Let me say, first of all, I don't think the Word of God says that there's going to be ghosts around. Isaiah chapter 26, it says, speaking about individuals, he says, they are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise. But there is a dark, ungodly component to the behavior of these that are mentioned, those wizards, the witches, those that can seek familiar spirits. It's the work of the devil himself, and that's why we have to stay away from it. Yeah. But we see God here, in this occasion, is going to send a message through Samuel. You know, and we see in the Word of God different instances where men of God have come back and people have recognized them, and there was a specific reason for it always. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah was there. It was for a purpose. But here it was. Saul comes up. She's surprised. She is beside herself. She cries out when this happens. It probably surprised her more than anybody else. But we see that happens. All because Saul had made poor choices, and now in the midst of a great crisis, he had again made another ungodly choice and said that I know better than what God says. Because what ultimately, and don't miss this point, what he was trying to do, he was trying to seek the answer he wanted instead of the answer that God gave him. So there's enough of that. Let's look at the message of Samuel. Here it was, Samuel, verse 15. Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" Samuel's like, Why am I here? Why have you done this, Saul? Why am I here? And it's interesting when what you see, if you just back up a little bit, the fellowship between Samuel and Saul was cut off there after the debacle there with the Amalekites. Samuel didn't have anything else to do with Saul, and there wasn't any connection until Samuel died. But now he's saying, why do you want to see me now? And Saul answers, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore, I have called thee that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Ironically enough, now Saul wants to listen to Samuel. But verse 16, "Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy?" All Samuel has done is repeated what he had previously said to Saul. "And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David." And why was that? Verse 18, "Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day." And then notice what Samuel says then. "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow thou and thy sons shall be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." He had compounded one crisis with another crisis. My friends, when we find ourselves going in a path that's not pleasing to God, the answer is not to continue down that path or go deeper down that path.
Amen.
Then verse 20, it says, "Then Saul fell straightway all along the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all day nor all the night." Here was this noble king wallowing on the ground. Well, you say, well, at this point, Brother Michael, is he repentant? The Bible never says that. You know, he was grieving because of the consequences that were to come. And we go on. We'll stop right there. I mean, we can look a little bit more into the interaction between Saul and this witch at Endor, and I think it just gets darker and darker. But here's the bottom line. Saul had trampled on the word of God. Saul had compromised the word of God. He went looking for answers from an ungodly source, and he ends up really in a God-forsaken situation. And here it was. What you read later on is that it comes to pass what Samuel said. Now, here's some takeaways for us this morning, very quickly. As God's people, we just don't need to assume that everything under the guise of spirit or spirituality is holiness. Everything out there that's of a spiritual nature is not God-honoring. Even under the auspices of religion. My friends, there's a spirit out there that's not the spirit of God, but its fountainhead is the prince of the power of the air. Now, this woman, she was either a fraud, or she was engrossed in dark spiritual matters that were not of God. And my friends, we have to be careful. We live in a world today that's so detached from the Word of God that we, if we're not careful, we'll mistake any type of spirituality for godliness. That's not always the truth. You know, you think about the charismatic movement, well-intentioned people get caught up in some of that stuff, but it's not supported by Scripture. And if it's not supported by Scripture, it is not of God. And let me make this one more takeaway. Again, not everything that's spiritual in this world is godly. A second point is, my friends, the Word of God never changes. Yes, all the way from the beginning of Saul's reign as king of Israel, Saul wasn't consistent. That's the understatement of the year, wasn't it? Saul was inconsistent. But you know what was consistent? The message and the Word of God. And I think Saul was a lot like us today. We get an idea in our head, and we try to do everything that we can in our flesh to justify our idea, justify our behavior. And maybe you've experienced this in your own life, maybe in your professional life. You'll have somebody that just has an idea that they just hold on with a tight grip. And have you ever met someone that just goes from one person to another person to another person till they find somebody that justifies their idea no matter how wrong it is? Well, you didn't endorse what I'm going to do. I'm going to go over here and see if they'll endorse it. Now, Saul, in his pride, he was that way. He wanted to do things Saul's way, and he thought, well, if I just keep on keeping on, eventually God will relent. Eventually God will change his mind on the situation. God will see how great I am as a king, and he'll alter things. And he even went to the point of again, seeking a wicked source to call up Samuel from the dead. And I think he honestly thought that Samuel was going to tell him what he wanted to hear that time. But my friends, I want you to understand, right now, God's word is unalterable. In heaven, God's word is unalterable. Forever, the words of God will be unalterable. Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What's true now will be true in heaven. What was true 20 years ago is true today from God's word. Now, we just need to reconcile ourselves as God's people and be good students of God's word and understand it. And let me just say this in closing. We see a great struggle to find answers to his questions. You know, he went across enemy lines, and I believe he put himself at risk. He compromised values that he once held, because the Bible says to us that he eradicated this witchcraft from Israel at one time. My friends, as children of God, it is not a great struggle to understand what God's will is for us, because he's given it to us in his word. The problem was, Saul did not like what God had to say. He has given us his word. What a wonderful blessing. Over and over and over again, we see that in Titus chapter 2. Paul says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, and I think he's speaking to God's people, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The word appeared happens twice in that passage of Scripture. The word means illumination. And here's the blessing that we enjoy as God's people. Now, I believe Saul was a child of God. He says right there, Samuel says to Saul that you and your sons are going to be with me. There are people today that think, well, Saul just doesn't have a chance. Saul is in hell and he's doomed. No, I think he's the picture of the child of God who has decided my way is better than God's way, and he suffered consequences in this world. I believe I'm going to see Saul in heaven someday. And I believe Saul's going to tell me, boy, I sure messed up while I was down there on this earth. But as God's people, let's learn from that example. God has given us his spirit. He's given us his word. And, you know, we're going to have trials and difficulties. We're going to make mistakes. All of us do. We are going to, you know, to use the biblical word and the appropriate word, we're going to sin. We're going to miss the mark that God has set for his standard. But when we miss the mark, my friends, that's not a reason for us to go further off the path of godliness. Amen. The point we miss the mark, we need to confess our sins to God and repent and turn back towards him. We did not see that in the life of Saul. I believe Saul's repented now in heaven, you know, but You see, as God's people, we have access to God's word. He's given it to us. As God's children with the Spirit of God, we're able, by God's grace, to read and understand the word of God. He's given us the church to rightly divide the word of truth. We don't have to struggle with ungodly sources to try to find answers for our life. We don't have to dabble in the occult. We don't have to seek out spirits that don't square with what the Word of God says about, you know, the Spirit of God is. He's given us His Word. We have access. His Word's unalterable. No matter where we are in life, His Word is the same. May God bless us to learn this lesson from King Saul.
God never leaves us, never, ever leaves us without access to the resources that we need to follow Him. Never. It's not that there weren't faithful individuals who'd have provided Saul with great counsel. There were. Abinadab, Abiathar, faithful priest of God who knew God's word up one scroll and down the other. They were available, but in his blindness, Saul wandered so far and wouldn't hear, and how heartbreaking it is to see God's people in that condition. Very relevant, timely words for us in the dark day in which we live. There's great light for us. We don't have to wander in the dark. God's word is there for us.